where we're going this evening. Romans chapter what? And you should benefit if you pay attention. We are in Romans chapter 7. Paul is addressing something very important, and that is the experience of every Christian virtue. And then he's distilling this thing down to what Christianity really boils down to. And from Romans chapter 7 to Romans chapter 8, we see him talking about how to live a Christian life, how to live a victorious Christian life, how to live not a mediocre Christian life, but to live an excellent Christian life. And this is what a Christian must understand. So here in chapter 7, he's talking about the dual nature of a Christian. That the Christian has dual what? I didn't hear you. Dual what? Dual nature. The unbeliever has three forming issues in his life. Very serious issues in his life. One issue he has is that his spirit has not God in him. So he doesn't have life. When you have absence of God, that situation is described as spiritually what? Dead. So the unbeliever is dead. Not physically dead, but spiritually what? Dead. Because he doesn't have God in his spirit. So his spirit is dead. And which means his spirit cannot do anything spiritually. A dead man can do nothing. A dead spirit cannot do what? Anything. So that does not count. He can't do anything that is godly at all. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that when we were in that situation, that we are excused from doing anything righteous. That was why Jesus said to the Jews, he said, you know why you marry many wives? Your heart is heart of what? Stone. Your spirit is dead. You will not be able to do all this. So God said, God, that wasn't God's will, but God just came. Because he hasn't changed you yet. He has not given you the heart of flesh. You don't have flesh. You are dead. You are dead as rock. And then the second thing the unbeliever has is that his mind is godless too. He doesn't have the knowledge of God in him. And so he has no light in him. The light of the world is the knowledge of Christ, is Christ himself. If you read Ephesians chapter 4, 18, if somebody can read it quickly for me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life of God, from the life God gives, because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against it. Continue 19. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Why? Their mind is full of darkness. They can't reason really spiritually. And then the Bible says the natural man does not understand what? Things of God. So it's just a waste of time. You know, we should know these things. So we are dealing with people who don't know God. Don't get mad. You shouldn't get mad. You should be compassionate and understand you were like that too. If not for the mercy of God, you will be talking like that. But instead of that, when you get mad, we fight, quarrel, record it against them. God is nothing. God is being merciful to them. So he has that second issue. And the third issue he has is his flesh. His body. His what? His flesh. The Christian has two issues to deal with. His spirit has God in him. So his spirit has been quickened. So Christ gave him life. And Christ gave him the life of God. So his spirit is alive. Very much what? Alive. Amen? And has the presence of God in him. But you see, his mind needs to be saved from the junk he had before he got saved. So the Bible says that what saves his mind is the word of God. Peter said that our mind is saved by what? The word of God. is the word of God that delivers your mind, that sets your mind free. It's the word of God. And if the Christian doesn't renew that mind, if he doesn't renew that mind, he will be thinking like the heathen and acting like the heathen. For as a man thinks in his heart, so he will be. He will be going to church with everything that church people do. If his mind is not renewed, you can give him 20 commandments. He will be behaving exactly like a heathen. Because out of all the issues of his life is coming from where? From that heart. And that heart, doesn't have the same mindset like the heathen. He doesn't know God. He doesn't know he has no light in it. So he's acting like somebody who has no God in him. And at the best, he can become a part-time Christian. You know who is a part-time Christian? A part-time Christian follows Jesus part-time. He follows Jesus when it is convenient for him. And when it's not convenient, he tells Jesus to do what? God of him. He does what he likes. He doesn't care about consequences. He's a part-time Christian. Fair weather. And then the Christian has this other issue. This is his body. This flesh is not dead. This flesh is very much what? Life. And this flesh is not going to heaven. This is not going to heaven at all. This is not spiritual. This is sinful by nature. And so when Paul was writing, he described it for us in 2 Corinthians 4:16. He called it the outward man that is perishing because he's getting old. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. But the inward man, which is the spirit, is being what? Renewed day by day. Do you get this introduction? Is it clear to you? You need to understand this introduction so that you understand chapter 7 of the book of Romans, and so that you understand chapter 8, and so that you begin to live this new life in Christ. It's a tragedy that many Christians don't understand the new life in Christ. It's a serious tragedy. And because we don't, we find it difficult. I want you to listen to me. We find it very difficult to assess the promises of God. And we imagine that we have to do a lot of stuff to get what has already been given to you. Because of our inability to understand how to live this new life. It has cost us a lot. A lot. A lot of frustration. A lot of bewilderment. A lot of failures. A lot of questions. But if you know how to live it, you live in victory 24/7. Because that's what it's designed for. It's designed to place you where Christ is seated in heavenly what? Places in power. That's what it's designed to. So if you will listen this evening, you will gain a lot. You will gain a lot. And I'm sure it will help you. Amen. So Paul is talking in chapter 7 about the dual nature that we have as Christians. That we have this body. Everybody say this body. And that we have our spirit that is born again. So he's been talking about the nature, the fallen nature of man, how man by nature loves the great laws. Because that is this only. I'm left-handed by nature. So if you give me something without thinking, what do I do? So whatever is called your nature is what you do without even thinking. So man by nature says, so wherever you put laws, it goes to break it because that's his nature. So he talked about how the Gentiles showed that nature. The Jews giving the law showed that nature. And so God had to give us righteousness as a gift because we could not achieve the righteousness of God. And then he came over to chapter 6, talking about our identity with Christ now, how we died with Christ, our old nature was what? Crucified. So the power of sin was destroyed. And how God gave us this beautiful gift of righteousness, comparing the gift of grace and what sin did for us in Adam, comparing what God did for us in Christ, showing us that this one gives you condemnation, this one gives you justification, this one makes you a slave of sin, this one makes you the reign over sin. Just comparing it to show us what Christ has done, what Adam did, what the sin of Adam did, what the grace of God did, what the sacrifice on the cross achieved for the Christian in chapter 6. And he comes to chapter 7 and delves into the reality of the fact that the Christian has a struggle. Are you following me? The Christian has what? A real struggle with this thing. A real struggle. So it's not being hypothetical. What is being hypothetical? It's not possible. It's being realistic, because this is real. This is true. He's bringing it down to the low shelf and say, hey, it's true that you die with Christ. It's true that you've been set free from sin, but you live in this house, in this tabernacle, in this flesh, in this thing that is sinful. And so, the reality of it is, because you are living in him, and you move around what, with the thing, and the thing has its own desire, which is contrary to your own spirit's nature, that there's always a wobbling. So, in chapter 7, he drives it down to us, that this is the reality of life. So the Christian doesn't think in utopic terms. He said, this word too much. Utopic terms. What is utopic terms? Huh? Something that's not real. Because sometimes when you don't understand the reality of life, the devil will use it to make you miserable. You think you are not a Christian. And he will convince you are not a Christian. He will convince you that you are really a heathen when you are not. But what is going on is the reality of the struggle. The flesh and your spirit. The flesh and what? Your spirit. This one is born again. This one has the nature of God. This one came from the earth, made from salt, fire, doesn't have the nature of God. So his own nature is totally what? Different. But you are born again. And if we want this one to die, you leave this earth. As long as you are in this earth, you need this covering. And Paul called this somewhere else, this tabernacle. Calls it, he said, the outer man that is perishing. Praise the Lord. You know, we bring teachings of holiness and met with something beyond man. When people say, be you holy, I ask them, I say, what's your standard of holiness? So I will understand if I have attained what they're teaching. Nobody has ever told me how. I asked one pastor, I said, are you holy? That ended the conversation right there. We didn't go beyond that. Because the whole idea of all of this is that God is bringing us into reality to know that I'm telling you, I'm showing you my standard. Aim to grow. Aim to what? Grow towards that. Go from glory to glory. You have to have a goal and pursue. That's why I say pursue righteousness. It's impossible. Keep going after it. And Paul said, I have not attained. But I do what? I press for. Can you tell your neighbor, I am pressing for? And I want you to tell him one more thing. While I'm pressing for, well, give me a chance. Go ahead. Yeah, don't kill me before I get there. We if we don't understand this, we will never enjoy our present. Because we wake up, oh my God, the devil should say, look at you. And in 24 hours, he will show you 10 things. You've got to learn this thing. So when he shows up, and starts doing his tricks, you tell him to shut up and what? Disappear. I'm in pursuit and you can't stop. Forgetting those things that are behind, forget about the devil that is gone behind me now. I am pressing forward for the things that are what? Forward. I want to drive now. Watch me drive, church. Let's just pretend that I'm driving a car, right? I'm driving. What am I doing? Why? Because I'm looking. If I want to go forward successfully, I must do what? Turn away from it. And fix my foot. But the enemy wants to do what? And we fall for it like pack up cards. Very easily. Because what is pointing you to is your reality. And it's body because you are in Christ. It's really body. It's actually body. Believe me. You don't like it. Because you are in the real side of God. When you were hidden, it didn't bother you. It didn't bother you one second. You went to bed drunk. You woke up looking for more drink. It didn't bother you at all. Because your spirit is dead. Doesn't respond to righteousness. So Paul is bringing these realities to us to prepare the church to be able to navigate this life successfully. Because God is at work in each one of us. And he that started this good work will what? Praise the Lord. So, and I'm just summarizing. So when we start reading, so you'll be able to feel. And all he's trying to do in bringing us into this dimension of Christianity is so that we know that the Christian life is exclusively by faith in Christ. All this bunch of self-made things is what I'm saying. Live exclusively by faith in him who started this one. And it is him that will what? Started exclusively. And it's this understanding that renews you, that changes your thinking, your understanding, so that when the enemy attacks, you understand. You have solid ground on which you will stand to fight back and say, you're not going to make me a millionaire. And you're not going to make me a sinner. Because I'm saved, and I know I am what? Saved, and I'm going to have, praise the Lord. I had a conversation with the Lord yesterday. Surprising conversation. It was very surprising because it was really up close kind of conversation, which I haven't had for a while. Very up close. And what we're doing there, I said, Lord, why are you talking to me up close? He said, I love you. I died for you when you were a sinner. The same love I had for you then, as they have it, what? And he said something. He said, I will die for you again if I have to. I'm not kidding. He said, I die for you. It wasn't something I did by strength. I just loved you. I said, I will die for you again if I what? Have to. I don't have to. But if I have to, I will do it again. That would be my mind. That really blew. He said, I talk to my children all the time. He said, when they live in the flesh, they don't hear. They get confused. That's why living in the spirit is very important. Praise the Lord. So, whole of this life that Paul is describing for us is a life that is lived entirely by faith in Christ Jesus alone, so that you begin to what privileges and positions he has given you based on what he did. And the investment God has made in your life that you can deploy. There are things God has handed over to you that God wants you to what? Deploy. You can deploy them and they're very fit. For instance, he said the weapons of warfare are what? So you say you have the sword. Praise the Lord. And you have the what? The word of God, which is the sword, which you can speak. I'm just giving an example. So instead of you speaking and you keep quiet, who will speak for you? Are you not the one to what? So when you get this grounded and issues, because issues do arise, you have foundation on which to fight back, on which to defend your turf, on which to defend your position, on which to pray. I had a very serious encounter. And it was after that encounter that confusion came. A couple of days, the enemy came in force to really fight. It was a real battle. Tell him. And I said to myself, now the fact of faith has ensued. This is fighting finished. Praise the Lord. When you get a little excited about this, I said, this is fight what? Finish. And then all manner of things were happening to me. But I would declare and say, surely. Everybody said, surely. I said to the devil, surely. He bore my infirmities and bore my what? Sicknesses. 3 days of intense engagement. And in all of those 3 days, I behaved and acted as if the word of God was true. I was dealing with people with severe pain, nobody. Because I wouldn't give testimony to that thing. Because I knew it was real. When I mean pain, the pain was real. And I was dealing with people and were laughing. Pain that won't even make me sick. Understand. So after the third day, the Lord gave me a scripture. Somebody praise the Lord. He gave me a scripture. He said, if you can stop my covenant of the day and night, then you can stop my covenant with you in Christ. He said, if you can stop my covenant of what? Day and what? Night. Then my covenant with my children in Christ can be stopped. My covenant of healing can also what? Be stopped. From that point on, I had very fast infection. He said, if you can stop my covenant of day and night, that if you can stop day and night from being there, then you can stop my covenant with my children in Christ. It's in the Bible. He just gave it to me, and he said, this is my answer. He said, no, I can't. He said, healing is a covenant right of all children. It's a covenant right. It is not a contract. It's been given as an act of love. Pay for it. And within 2 hours, everything reversed. First of all, my appetite came back and I went and ate rice. I haven't had rice for a long time. I ate rice. And all the pain, and he told me, he said, all the symptoms you've been feeling, all these days, he said, they don't amount to a pack of cats. He said, they don't amount to anything. The power that keeps you. The power of God. And just like he said, few dollars. I'm sharing this so that we know that coming to Bible study and studying these things, you are laying foundation for yourself. So that when it hits you, you know in whom you are believed. is the solid rock. And fight the good fight of faith. And God can look down and say, that's my son right here. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, now, dear brothers and sisters, you who are familiar with the law, don't you know that the law applies only while a person is what? Is living. You who are familiar with the law, don't you know the law applies while a person is what? Living. Now, I want to ask you a question. The laws of America, does it apply to the living or to the dead? Right? That's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that the law applies only what? The law applies only to the natural world. It does not apply in the spiritual world. What? The laws here apply to life, yeah? Somebody dies, you can't say, my friend, take your driver's license. Because there they will require your ID. Paul is saying that the law applies only to the what? The living, because it applies only in the natural realm. This is important to understand. Because when you get born again, your spirit comes what? Life, and the law does not apply to the spirit. It does not apply to the spirit. Because your spirit lives in a different world. What? In the spirit realm. Everybody say in the spirit realm. Come on, say it aloud. That's where your spirit lives. The law applies to a man as long as what? But when his spirit is released, the flesh goes. That law does not apply to you. Before you are born again, you are just flesh. Just flesh. The spirit was dead. So you didn't operate in the spirit world. But the day you got saved, your spirit came. So your identity now is the new man, which is a. Come on now. Which is a. Why is it a spirit? Huh? Born of God. He that is born of the spirit, spirit. But the law was given to the natural realm. But the day you came to Christ, you died, and a new man came along. And that new man is born of the spirit. The law does not apply to you. Pretty soon we see what is happening. So Paul is saying that the law, say you people know the law. Now, dear brothers and sisters, you who are familiar with the law, don't you know that the law applies only while the person is living? The law, and then it says, for example, when a man marries, the law binds her to her husband as long as he is what? Alive. But if he dies, the law of marriage no longer that. Because the man is no more a human being. But you know, if he's a Christian, he didn't die. Because Christians don't die. He's well. Yeah. So in the spirit world, there's no marriage. So that law doesn't apply to him. So now he says, so while her husband is alive, she will be committing adultery if she married another man. But if her husband dies, no more in the natural realm, she's free from that law and does not commit adultery when she remarries. Verse 4. Keep going. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point now. This is the point now. You died to the power of the law when you died with Christ. And now you are united with the one who was raised, what? From the dead. As a result, we can now produce a harvest of good deeds. What he's saying in simple language, in ABCD language, is that, hey, before you became a Christian, that you are a natural human being. There was nothing spiritual about your life. But now, when you came to Christ, you died. And God gave you a new life. That new life is not this thing. That new life is that you are born again. You are born a spirit. I want to emphasize this. And don't be afraid of that, because that's what the Bible says. You are born a what? God is a spirit. And God cannot deliver something that is not a spirit. He says that which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. That which is born of the spirit is what? Spirit. Now, if you get it here, you begin to understand the foundation for understanding the spirit life. Yes. And this is why a lot of Christians don't even think it matters. But this is the foundation of living a successful Christian. If you get it, the day you begin to understand this, which Paul began to understand, he said, if any man is in Christ, he's what? He said, all things have what? He said, all things have become new. He said, man, I don't see people anymore after the outward appearance. I see them now, they are born again spirit. His mind became new with this truth. And so now, the Christian life simply, my Christian brothers and sisters, the Christian life simply, is to live the life of that spirit. That spirit that born of God. That spirit has to live, has to really live. Very active. Seriously active. Your life is lived by that spirit. If you live any life that is not by that spirit, it is called flesh. You are to live a life by that born again what? Spirit. That's called spirit life. And let me tell you something, church. If you don't get this, you will find it difficult to get the promises of God. Because it is that spirit that receives from God. It is that born again spirit. It is you. You read. It is your spirit that receives from God. It's your spirit that hears God. It's your spirit that understands God. The natural man does not what? Understand. It is by your spirit. You study the Bible by your spirit. You serve God by your what? Spirit. Everything by that one against me. You were created me not as a joke. That's the only way you live. It's in reality. So you say, because now you are created a new man, you are now spirit. You are joined to Christ. How? Because Christ lives in you now. And then he has given you his life. He said, because of that new life, new nature, you can now produce a new type of life, which is bearing fruit. Fruit of righteousness, fruit of the Spirit. All of it is emanating from the fact that Christ is in you now, and you are joined to him. The DNA that spirit has is Christ himself. Somebody say hallelujah. That's what Paul is saying. If you remove Jesus from this spirit, if you remove that spirit from this man, he refers to the old man he was. He will be incapable of bearing that fruit. Totally incapable. And he can't receive from God. Because the natural man does not receive the things of what? It's not possible. Because he doesn't understand. So we bear this fruit now because we've died and we have this new nature that is spirit born, that is the nature of God created in true holiness, in true righteousness, that has Christ in him, that has eternal life in him. So this man can live this naturally. Naturally, that is, it is his life. It is naturally the way he lives. You You don't to make him live that way. That's where he is. You don't have to make me use my right hand. That's exactly the way I am. That's exactly the way the new born again spirit is. Naturally like God. Behaves like God. Praise the Lord. Verse 5. When we were controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us, and the law aroused those evil desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds. When we were controlled by our old nature, the old nature. See, it's comparing the new nature now and the old nature, which is flesh. Sinful desires were at work right there. There's nothing righteous there. And the law aroused those desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds, resulting in death because there's no God in it. Verse 6. But now, somebody say now. But now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and no longer captive to his power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living the natural life of the Spirit. Church, you don't give me a law to use my right hand. I don't need a law to use it. Why? The born again spirit doesn't need a law. His nature is righteousness. He lives it naturally. That's his nature. He can't be it. And besides that, Christ is in him, at work in him, to will and to what? And to do. For it is Christ at work in him, to will and what? And to do. Besides that, it is Christ, by the Spirit of God, that is guiding him. As many as are led, Spirit of God. Guiding him. So his guiding light now is Christ. His guiding spirit is Jesus. I want to ask you, what law does he need now? Explain to me. He has Christ himself, God himself, as his daily guide. Between Christ and the law, which one is more powerful? Which one has a perfect way to guide? Christ. Who made the law? The lawmaker came to guide me. I don't need it. That's what Jesus was dealing with them. I told you when they brought this woman with their daughter, and they were reminding him what the law said. He bent down, used the same finger. Think about the same finger that he used to write on the stone. He was writing on the sand, telling them, "This finger wrote that law." That law you are reading to me. This finger what? Wrote it. In other words, they're telling the author, "I know all about it. Why are you teaching me about it?" The law said, "Before Abraham, I was." This finger wrote it. He was writing on the same clay or sand. They didn't even understand that. He came to teach God about the law he wrote. Praise the Lord. Are you following me? Are you following me, church? The reason we struggle with it is we are not even aware of it. We are not aware. And because we are not aware of it, our mind doesn't even go there. So we don't even believe it. So our mind is looking for guidance. Because we are sincere. We love God. We are children of God. So we are looking for some laws to help. We are looking for it. Because we are sincere. And God says, if you are led by my spirit, you are no more under the. Because my spirit is sufficient to guide you. We are not conscious of this truth. So because we are not, and because we are born again, and because we mean well, we are looking for. But if you realize that you are now a born again spirit, you have the nature of God. This means you can hear God. I say, hear what? My voice. And therefore, you can hear. open the scripture. Your father is talking with you. And you have been saying, Dad, wow, thank you for this. You're teaching me this one. You know, I even said, Lord, that I don't know how to resolve this. I will take it. Okay. Do this one. Don't do this one. Then. Do this one. Isn't that what you? He's guiding you there. The steps of a good man is what? Ordered by the law. This side that you are not reading your Bible. The steps of a good man is ordered by the law. God is law. The Holy Spirit is what they sent His Spirit to teach us and to guide us into all truth. Truth about your profession, truth about who to marry, truth about what to live. These things are not covered by the law. And you still have to come to them. One day you want to marry. The law doesn't tell you at best it's your wife. So the law is really limited. But the Spirit will guide you and say, beauty, beauty, be what? Be careful. Don't go that place. Her fuse is very short. Don't mind that thing in the fire. The Holy Spirit knows the end from the what? Guide into all truth about your life by your children. Any difficulty of life, He will show you the way out of it. Praise the Lord. It doesn't make sense. So which one is better? The Holy Spirit or the laws of Moses? The Holy Spirit. Besides, the law cannot empower you to do it, but He's the one at work in you to will and to help you what? Do. Which one do you prefer? One is the first thing to do. And besides, the law does not follow me. But the Holy Spirit says, I will never leave you or forsake. And I need you every day. Marriage, there are certain things your spouse might be doing. The Lord will tell you why and the solution. But the Holy Spirit will tell you. Say, know why your wife is doing this. Because you are not going to message to buy her. I'm just giving it as an example. Because on her bad day, you have not said the happy bad day. If you are doing that, say amen. So we serve God in the new way of living in the world. Spirit, living by my spirit man. The new born again man is real. He talks. When you pray in the spirit, guess who is praying? That's your spirit. The Spirit of God is using your spirit. Spirit can talk to you. And you know when He talks to you. When the Spirit of God talks, it's different. It's a little bit more talkative. But when your Spirit talks to you, it's like conversation. And again, you know things by your Spirit. You know things that is not revealed to the natural limitations that your Spirit man knows. Have you not done something? You say, I shouldn't have what? This over. Come on. I knew it all. This one. And I still went down there. You knew it. Your spirit knew it. But because you didn't recognize who you are, you followed your flesh and messed up. Your spirit knew it. If you knew, you would have said, let me listen to myself. See what God is saying. Listen, it's Savior. And then your friends will come and say, ah, invest here. Everybody is what? But something inside is saying, praise the Lord. Are we in agreement? So let's move further. What verse did we read last? Verse 6. So we're going to verse 7. Well then, am I suggesting that the Lord of God is sinful? Of course not. In fact, it was the Lord that showed me my sin. I would never have known that coveting is wrong if the Lord had not said, you must not covet. There's somebody here. God has been telling you something. Well, as I was talking, your mind started to remind you of that. You better go do that thing. You are a man. As I was talking, paused a little bit, had it, and it turned out. Arguing with God. Do yourself a favor and do what God wants. You are a man. As I was teaching, just occurred to you, the thing came to your mind. You paused a little bit, had quite a time to use. Am I suggesting that the Lord of God is sinful? No, the Lord of God is not. Of course not. In fact, it was the Lord that showed me my sin. I would never have known that coveting is wrong if the Lord had not said, you must not covet. But sin used this command to arouse all kinds of covetous desires within me. If there were no law, sin would not have had the power. Then at one time, I lived without understanding the law, but when I learned the commandment not to covet, to, for instance, the power of sin came alive and I died. I was explaining that when you were a child, you didn't know anything, the law didn't exist. Because the law didn't exist, there was nothing that aroused that tendency to break the law because you are inside. There was no law for you. But at the point you became conscious of right hand, instantly that thing that is called that nature came up. It's called, Paul said, I died. I died in the sense that I was moved into doing things without God. Without God. Yeah. So I discovered in verse 10, I discovered that the law's commandments, which were supposed to bring life, brought spiritual death instead. Sin took advantage of those commands and deceived me. It used the commands to kill me. That to kill me means to make me do things that are godless, that God is not in it. Then, verse 12. But still, the law itself is holy, and these commands are holy and right and good. But how can that be? The law, which is good, caused my death? Of course not. It was not the law that caused this trouble. It is sin that is in the flesh. Sin. Of course not. Sin used what was good to bring about my condemnation to death. So we can see how terrible sin really is. He uses God's good commands for its own evil purposes. Verse 14. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is what? With me. For I'm all too human and a slave to sin. Why? Because I carry this thing. I have an issue here. A slave to sin. So, verse 15. I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right. But I don't what? Do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree with the law. I agree that the Lord is good, so I'm not the one really doing wrong. It is what? Sin living where? In me. Where does he live? This flesh. Living in me. Verse what? 17. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. So, 18. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. Which part is he talking about? This flesh. This flesh. This house. This tabernacle. That is perishing. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I want to, what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me. He repeats that. That does it. 21. I have discovered this principle of life. It's a principle of life. That while I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Which means my will, human will, is not sufficient to deal with this issue. That's what he's saying. I want to. I will. My will is to do it. It's not sufficient to handle it. Is that correct? You can decide, no matter what they say, I'm not going to say it. I'm just going to sit quiet and listen. I won't say it. And then they start talking. Then start, your knees start shaking. Then you are just shaking your head. I said, well, no, stop. My friend, can't be saying like that. Who told you? I have to say my mind. I've been keeping quiet here. Is it because I've been keeping? But you said at the beginning. You said, you see, you want to do what is good. Your will could stop. I will have so many situations like that. Because sometimes you really want to do what is good. But you don't realize what you are up against. It's a natural force called what? Direct this thing, it will wreck your Christianity. It has destroyed a lot of people's faith. Pulled them out of faith. Destroyed their life. Destroyed their career. Destroyed their marriage. Destroyed their health. I'm not kidding you. It has ruined them all. Many people think it is the devil. The Spirit of God causes the works of the flesh. It's what the flesh does. Don't you? They call it walk of them. Fornication. You know how many people whose marriages have been wrecked. And these are good people who don't want to do it. They really don't want to. But they do. You know how many people who don't want to tell lies? They don't want, they want to be honest, they want to be sincere. But they ask them a question at the request of job and says, I'm going to lose my job. It is a lie. It doesn't even have to be a place of work. Sometimes the God pulls you, say, you're using food. You say, I have never owned a food all my life. Using food. Why did you see food in this time? I don't use food. Don't do Verizon. You don't know me. You are wrong. It's not my car. I think it's somebody else. You know, you tell a lie so long, you believe it's true. What I'm trying to bring out is what Paul is saying is true. Let's not be a denier. We mean well. We love God. We are sincere. But sometimes our will is not enough to deal with this situation. It can be really hot. It can be a real hot button situation. And you flip out. You just flip out. And after you flipped out and sweated, you come back to what? You say, oh my God. Because you love God. You are a child of God. You have the Holy Spirit in you. That's why the Holy Spirit is your guide. He'll come and say, my son, you shouldn't have. That's true. Surprise. God didn't wake up and say, what? So he's no enemy before he got. And if you listen to your spirit, some places you went to, you shouldn't have gone. Because he was telling you, don't what? Okay. But you will. And then fought them. And then they tore your dress. And then you went into a shop and bought another. What verse is the last one? Verse what? We are gone beyond 10. 21. I have discovered this principle of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is what? Wrong. I love God's law. We all do, with all our heart. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is within me. Now, that's a reality. Now he comes to verse 24. Oh, what a miserable what person that I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by what? Sin and death. So it makes the Christian miserable. It makes him feel bad because he loves God. He really loves God. It makes him feel really bad, I'm telling you, because he really, really loves God. And so it becomes an issue for him. And Paul is saying, what is the solution? Because there has to be what? Solution. But you know, brethren, we must understand this, that until Christ comes and gives us that our new what? Body. This issue, that's why we need that new body. And Paul wrote, and we're going to come to it in future, about how creation is growing because of corruption. He said, even we Christians, we also what? Groan because of our imperfection. He said, we groan. We don't like this thing. It makes you groan. You are not happy because you love Jesus. You really love Jesus. You are a child of God. When you were not a Christian, it didn't bother you. But now your spirit is you really love God, you do. And happens from time to time. And it makes us feel bad. Can I help us? Enjoy God's mercy for you. Because God knows. God understands. But we are not doing those things on our own. They just tend to overtake us sometimes. Sometimes we foolishly get into it. But the important thing is to repent and turn away from it and receive mercy. If you stay there, are you going to stay there 1 hour crying, or 2 hours crying, or 1 year crying? What are you going to achieve? So the best thing is forgetting those things that are what? Behind. Prepare yourself to win the next battle. Praise the Lord. Does it make sense? Yeah, prepare yourself to win what? The next battle. And if you try and fail, try. One day you win. So Paul said that this thing causes serious frustration. Now he brings something wonderful in verse. What is the next verse? Let's read verse 25. Thank God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Thank God. The answer is what? In Christ Jesus our Lord. So you see how it is now. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. So the answer is in who? Christ Jesus. And I think I want to stop here because of my time. Because Paul, knowing that the answer is in Christ Jesus, that the answer is what? He focused the whole church on the answer. The answer is not in the law of Moses, the answer is not in your ritual. The answer is not in your determination and your effort, in your power, in your title, your position, your senior pastor. The answer is not in 15 years a Christian. I've been a Christian 18 years. That's not the answer. The answer is in what? That's all. There is no other answer to this thing. Because everybody is struggling with this thing. The answer is in Christ Jesus. Everybody say that. Say it loud for me. The answer is not in any other thing. There is no hope of glory for man except Christ in him. There is no hope of overcoming this thing. There's no hope of. The Bible says that a man without Christ is hopeless in this world. Totally hopeless. The only hope. Paul focused the entire church on the answer. Who is what? So he went to Galatia. He said, I presented Christ before to see him crucified. He wrote to the Ephesians about Christ focusing. He wrote to the Colossians about Christ. He wrote to the Corinthians focusing about Christ. Then he wrote, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, looking unto what? Because he is the answer to this. And we're going to continue from here. Next Thursday. Christ, the what? The answer. So we go there and see scriptures and then see how Christ really solved the problem of this thing. And so we can see how, if we follow it and understand it and believe it, we can walk in victory over this thing. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Did you get anything? I want us to sing that song again. On Christ, the solid rock.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.